Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, across the world and the universe. Welcome to my Quantum Living Podcast, at the intersection of science and spirituality. I'm your host, Anna Anderson. An inquisitive soul on a lifetime mission to find out how life really works. This podcast is about bringing the spiritual, metaphysical, and esoteric concepts down to the practical level, so that we can learn and apply them in our daily life to make it a little easier and raise our consciousness to the next level. Whether you are listening to this show while driving or commuting, doing chores around the house, relaxing on a couch, or flying in a spaceship across the galaxy, I hope you'll enjoy today's episode. Okay, let's begin. Hello and welcome back to Quantum Living. Conscious creations on the physical plane are grouped into kingdoms based on their common characteristics. There are four kingdoms on planet Earth: the mineral kingdom, the plants kingdom, the animal kingdom, and also the little known, the elements kingdom with water, air, and fire. Every kingdom has a special role to play in the grand evolution of consciousness in the creation. The mineral kingdom, with stones and crystals, is the foundation of life on Earth. Its main role is to collect, store, and transmit information as energy, and to balance the planet's energetic grid, connecting it to other parts of the cosmos, as well as to other dimensions. Ancient civilizations knew about this, passing this sacred knowledge on to the new generations via shamanic and indigenous traditions and spiritual teachings. Stones and crystals are not only the vast libraries of spiritual wisdom and the history of the universe, but also powerful healing agents we are allowed to use. Crystal healing is a well-known modality often incorporated in today's energy healing practices. I have been searching for a crystal healing expert to invite them to my show for a very long time. Finally, the universe has fulfilled my request and brought just the right person to my reality. And I think I could not find anyone more qualified and experienced in this field. My special guest today is Sarah Thomas. Sarah is an inspired healer and educator and the owner of Clarity Acupuncture in Asheville, North Carolina, where she has performed well over 10,000 stone and acupuncture hybrid treatments with patients. Sarah is the founder and lead instructor of the Upper Clarity School of Stone Medicine, which has served as a loving alchemical container for thousands of students across the world. Sarah's own Tao is to resurrect the vast knowledge and uncharted potentials of healing when awakening with stones. You will find more information about Sarah and her work on my podcast website at quantumlivingpodcast.com. Hello, Sarah. Welcome to Quantum Living. It's such a pleasure to have you on my show.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
I'm thrilled to finally having found a true expert in crystal and stone healing. So thank you so much for your time.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
Beautiful. To set the scene for this conversation, could you please tell us briefly your story? How did you get involved with crystals and energy healing?
You know, this didn't turn on for me in my, I guess you could say, soul memory until I was about 20 years old or so. As a kid, I was, you know, playing sports and just interested in life in the suburbs. And I didn't go camping except to some, you know, funny regular campground with a parking lot and arcade games. I didn't go rock hounding. I didn't have anybody showing me, you know, the wonders of geology or teaching me about minerals. I was an artist. I was really interested in art. But when I was about 20 years old, I was in undergrad for art and painting. And I learned about the stones and the minerals and my love for them through just an awakening, through just an awakening in my heart. There was this crystal shop in the town that I went to in college, and I just started to go in there and stare at everything. Couldn't take my eyes off these crystals, and it was like I was magnetizing them and they were magnetizing me. And I learned what happened was eventually I got just completely this big destiny moment in my life where my whole life course altered. And maybe it was these stones, you know, pulling something, you know, out of my soul memory. But my life altered, and I ended up going to graduate school not for painting, which would have been the direct course my life would have taken, but I went to graduate school for acupuncture because I then awakened to the healing that was within me and the acupuncture, the love of acupuncture and chi and meridians, and what unfolded, you know, in connection with that and stones and crystals and stone medicine and ancient techniques with stones and what unfolded in my life. I just never could have guessed it as a child. I never could have thought this is where my life would wind up. So it's been a really deep, rich unfolding and such a surprise for me.
Wow, what a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing. You base your teachings, as I understand, on the Taoist tradition, which is a spiritual philosophy. So I'm curious, how is it linked with crystals? What's the connection there?
Well, Taoism is, yes, it's an ancient philosophy out of China, and it's so simple. It's so profound. It's such a beautiful guiding light for anybody today, I think, because it is about the love of nature. Taoism is about that the nature is the teacher, and that everything that we need to learn, we can always learn it just through observing nature. So Taoists observe nature without bias. They learn to say reality is what is, and what is loving and kind. They were great at observing. And they also, so the other tenet of Taoism is that everything is one. So in Taoism, you can't leave anything out of that circle of oneness. You can't say, oh, you know, nettles or plant medicine has a potential for healing, but malachite or azurite does not. You can't say a tree may have a life essence, but a seashell does not, because it's all one. It's all within the oneness. So when they looked into healing, spirituality, awakening, transcendence, they looked at all of nature as having a purpose. All of nature has a meaning. And because they came from that lens, they wrote about stones and crystals. You know, stones and crystals was developed into Chinese medicine. And that comes from the classical roots of Taoism. It's because they didn't leave anything out. And when you can go back that far and live in this world of meaning and connection, you find that stones and crystals really do have a purpose. They do have a life, and they really do have a soul. You can't leave them out. So it's that connection with observing nature and oneness that ties Taoism and crystals together.
Beautiful, thank you. So yes, if we accept that everything is one, is the same consciousness, energy, then it goes without saying that crystals are also consciousnesses in their own right and in their own category as part of the consciousness of all that is,
That's right.
which means that we can work with them, we can treat them, we can talk to them. In the same way as we work with plants, with trees, with medicinal plants. So, by extension, there is no difference. Beautiful. So, how does crystal healing work? Does the healing need to be initiated, asked for, or does it happen automatically in the presence of crystals? Do you need to touch a crystal or be very close to it to use its energy for healing?
You know, one of the things that my teacher said that stuck with me a while back was that stones and crystals are much like a pack of wild wolves in the wild. You know, they are just living in the present moment on their instinct program. And if we took a wolf out of the wild and we formed a relationship with it, that wolf would change. And we would change because we create this relationship. And it may not just run on its instinct program anymore of just living in the what is, living in the nature. It may start to be illuminated. It may start to go through its own alchemical transformation What relationship can ignite is profound. And I think that stones and crystals work or, take on these healing properties or are able to ignite change or become alchemical tools that put us through alchemical processes, really based on relationship. When we, the human heart is so powerful. And when the heart and mind are aligned and cohered, we are these creation machines. We're like these dreamers that dream life into being. And when we come in with our heart, and then we're working with this crystal and putting our attention and energy towards this crystal, and we're giving it energy, and the life force inside the crystal can awaken, change, grow. It is said that all stones have a soul and all souls have a destiny. So it's something about our relationship with the stones that turns them on. I always say that chi is the great activator. What activates them is chi, and chi is all about relationship. So it's really us coming together with them, our intention, our consciousness, the power of our human heart, and then we kind of turn each other on, and the wolf becomes, not just something running on its sensing program, but something in relationship to us.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm loving your comparison to a wild animal. And when you talk about developing a relationship, when we talk about the relationship, this by itself assumes and embraces the fact that there are two consciousnesses, two intelligences, maybe even put it this way. Lovely. Now, what is the difference, if any, between crystals and stones? And do you work with like regular rocks that we can find, on the side of the road?
Yeah, so technically the difference is a crystal will always have a perfect ordered atomic structure. And there are seven crystal systems in this nature. Maybe on other realms and other dimensions, there may be eight crystal systems or nine, but here we have seven crystal systems. And a crystal is always going to have this perfect atomic arrangement within it. It's ordered. And then a mineral is something that always has the same chemical composition. So kyanite is always aluminum silica oxide. Now, a rock is kind of like a pot of soup where you can throw anything into the pot of soup. So lapis lazuli is technically a rock. Like lapis, or some people pronounce it lazuli, but lapis lazuli is technically a rock in that it has some sodalite in it. It has some pyrite in it. It has some lazurite in it. It has, just silicate structure within it. So it's kind of like a pot of soup that you can throw anything into. And then those rocks that we find on the ground and in our driveway, those are rocks, right? Because they might have some granite. They might have a little, who knows, they might have a little copper running through. We don't know what the chemical composition is for all the rocks, but they do have crystals in them. They're just usually microcrystalline silica oxide, meaning tiny, tiny, small crystals of quartz. And something like 80% of the Earth's crust is silicates or quartz. So they do have like tiny, tiny little quartz in them most of the time. Does that make sense? Like it's like a pot of soup.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for explaining this. I wasn't aware of that, of the difference. So we have crystals, then minerals, and then rocks or stones.
Yeah.
I'm asking this question because I know that there is what is called stone therapy. It is basically laying stones on your body, usually along your spine, with some oils and other elements. Are you familiar with the stone therapy?
Yes, those are usually silicates, like maybe black rocks that they got from a creek, or they're usually silicate rocks or silicate stones. Yes.
Now, I just want to circle back to the notion of developing a relationship with specific crystals. This would explain how come we are drawn, feel drawn to some crystals and not to others. And I remember when about, that was some 15 years ago or so, when I walked into this huge crystal store, which was almost like a warehouse, with beautiful crystal collection and with beautiful crystal caves. And I intended to buy an amethyst crystal cave. And I remember when I was walking through the aisles and looking at those caves, I was drawn specifically to one particular amethyst cave. I immediately felt connection to it and I bought it. What I'm saying is that I distinctly could feel being drawn to one particular crystal cave in this case, and not to others. So is there something else going on in terms of maybe crystals selecting us to be working with them?
Yes, that's a great question because I think that speaks to a lot of people's experience of feeling drawn to certain crystals. And that goes back to that we are in this reality where we only perceive 1% of reality. Science is telling us now that we perceive 1% of reality with our senses. That leaves 99% of reality unperceivable with our senses, which you call subtle energy, or we call felt energy. Or so the other 99% includes all other energy, frequency, and vibration. And there is a lot of trans-dimensional energy here. It's not just 3D electromagnetic energy. There's a lot of energy that goes into other dimensions and all the way back to the field of all possibility, or the zero point energy field where all possibility exists. And this means there's tons of possibilities of frequencies that are everywhere around us. And all of this points to truly what stones are truly doing here, because stones are anchoring these different frequencies that are 3D, third density frequencies, but fourth, fifth, sixth, and higher dimensional frequencies. They are anchoring them into form in third density with their bodies, with the physical materiality, the form of the stone. Who knows what that stone was anchoring from the field of all possibility? But when there are higher dimensional energies, life forms, all of this energy that is unknown to us, right? If that wants to feed you something, if that wants to awaken something in you, if that wants to tell you of a new possibility, if that wants to encode your DNA, what it looks for to come into this dimension through is stones and crystals. It also looks for light. It also looks for sound. Right? It can travel and it can code into this dimension in different ways, but crystals is one of the ways that comes into this dimension. It anchors those higher dimensional frequencies. So it is truly like the field of all possibility may have wanted to feed you something or show you something through that stone that was encoded in that stone. And time is also very funny in these other realms. Like, I'll say in a really simple way, that stone may have known you were coming. Or those higher frequencies may have known you were coming, right? And encoded the stone for you.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I also feel, in fact, that there is a frequency match. So while the difference might be minute between all those crystals, you know, in the whole room and my frequency, there was just this one crystal cave that resonated perfectly with my frequency. Hence, I was drawn to it. And you mentioned the purpose. I now know what was its purpose in my life, because a few years ago, it actually saved me from having a brain surgery, which is a separate topic. But I worked with it. I don't like really using the word use because it just has negative connotations. But I worked with it. I asked it for healing when I was on the verge of having to have brain surgery. And over a few weeks, it healed me. There was no surgery needed. So that was its purpose.
That is incredible, right? Like, who was that working through the stone or what? Like, you know, it's like, it's amazing. And you're right, like that it's resonance, right? Because when two things come into resonance, they can exchange information. And it's also harmonics at this level. Like, maybe you're a 12 frequency and that stone is a 144. So it's like a harmonic match. So you can resonate together. That's incredible. That's such a cool story.
Yes. And we know now that everything is frequency, that the whole creation is essentially frequency vibrating at different levels. So it does make perfect sense. How can we program crystals to make talismans for protection, to communicate with other dimensions? And how can we communicate with them?
Well, when I was going through college, I was graduating, getting my painting degree, and I did my big final show, and I loved my painting teacher. She was Irish. She was awesome. I hung on to her every word. And at the very end, when I did my final show, she said, "Okay, Sarah, you're about to put together your graduate portfolio." And she said, "I'm going to tell you what they're looking for in your work." And she said, two things, okay? And then the third thing, which she said was most important, she said, is a sense of intimacy with your work. They're looking for a sense of intimacy with your work, that you are intimate with your work.
Interesting.
Yes. And I don't know. So hold that thought for a minute and think of this. Have you ever seen an actor play a role where they are like somehow sitting outside of the role? Like you can feel them doing the words and you can feel them creating the emotions,
Yeah.
but they don't feel like they're just completely in the role,
Yeah.
you know?
They're acting.
Yeah.
They are not the role
Yeah.
itself, but they're acting. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like the difference between being intimate with a role. Like the person who's really in the role, they just let it inside them. And they gave themselves to it. They surrendered.
They become it.
They become, yes.
Yeah.
Now, if we take all these thoughts about stones, it's like, this is how you program a stone. Once you allow yourself to become intimate, it's about intimacy. It's about letting yourself go to it. And it's just about authenticity. So if you talk to a stone like you're a little kid talking to a friend, like it, that's magic. If you let it be intimate, like the way I'm speaking to you, stone, is just exactly authentic. This is how I feel, whether you're angry, sad, upset, feeling whatever, you know. But if it's authentic and you just really become intimate with you, like this is my heart, and you share with it from your heart, this is what I'd like to do together. This is my intention. Can we do this together? We can call it programming. And that's a fine thing to say. And I think it's really just talking to it and sharing your intention. And something that stones will kind of, you know, refine you about is clarity. Stones have a lot of clarity, and they'll ask for your clarity. You'll see that they're like, okay, they'll help you refine. Like, so if you could just do one thing, what would you do? Like they really respond well to clarity. If you could just say one thing, what would it be? Like, and the more clear you are, the more you actually start to resonate with the stone too. They just, clarity is one of their, just the ways that they are. It's like one of their languages. So it's intimacy, it's authenticity. And then you'll see that they'll ask you to become more clear. And the more clear you are, the more the program just shifts into the stone. That is as simple as it is. And that's it. That's truly it. But if you want to take it further, you'll find that people practice for a long time with inner alchemy practices, where they'll see if they can focus for a longer time with that intimacy and that focus and that clarity. Like, how long can I just focus while I'm holding this? And that's a cultivation practice where if we can just keep focusing on one thing, and this is what they did a lot in ancient China, like, how do we refine our focus? The more we focus, the more it imprints the stone. And that's cultivation. You know, that's a meditative mind.
Wow. And thank you. And it does make perfect sense. So this is about the process and communication with crystal or with stone. In terms of the actual mechanics, is it best to hold a stone or crystal in your hand, put it on your body, or hold it in certain proximity from your body? What's the actual mechanics that you might recommend?
One idea is to flow energy into the stone from your heart. So you're holding the stone with both hands. And then while you're holding that intention and having that talk with it, you actually feel your heart flowing energy from your heart into your hands. And you can create a circuit like that is coming down your left arm, filling the stone, coming back up your right arm and into your heart. So engaging the heart chakra brings that feeling into it, which really coheres the brain and the heart, which makes a more coherent message for the crystal. Another thing that we do, which is both of these, this is all, you know, as old as the hills, but another thing that is worth working with is the breath. So if you are holding the feeling and holding the intention and speaking, and then there are different kind of breaths that you can do into the stone. And when we do breath, we're actually doing a DNA exchange. Our DNA is talking to the DNA of stone, of the stone. Breath can move codes that DNA can understand. So you can also breathe different breaths into the stones as the imprint.
Oh, beautiful. I'm loving the depth of our conversation because I haven't heard a lot of what you are sharing with us, and I'm sure that many of my listeners haven't. So this is, if you like, a brand new world, another dimension of working with crystals, and I'm loving it. So thank you. And I think that now is the time to speak to these issues at this level, at the level of consciousness, at the level of quantum energy, because we need to refine our understanding and our thinking of our reality and various consciousnesses in it. So thank you. Now, most people would recommend to handle crystals as little as possible, not to handle or touch crystals unless you are working with them. But I believe that you actually recommend touching them, not only when you are working necessarily with them, but more often. Could you please speak to this?
Yes, these are the Mother Earth's precious babies. And as I say that, I look at my clock says 444, but these are her precious treasures. These are her babies. You know, these are what grew so long inside of her. These are her treasures. You know, these are her babies. And that's how I feel the Mother Earth feels about her crystals. It's her sacred babies. And when I hear you, your question, because I've been talking about breath, heart, holding, touch, intimacy, like these things that are this more like embodied loving. I mean, to me, it feels like treating them like my babies too, is that feels like the opening to me, you know? So it does, I guess my way and the way I've been connected is this more intimate, loving, embodied way.
Absolutely. How do we know the quality and the purpose of the energy of specific crystals? Is this ancient knowledge? Do we learn it as we go? How do we know?
That's a great question. When you talked about for a moment, you brought up the stone therapies where you lay the stones on somebody or heated stones in at the spa.
Yeah.
And actually, if you search the term stone medicine, that's what you'll find is massage therapists putting stones on people. But there is a secret stone medicine, and that's the stone medicine that I've been talking about. And the stone medicine that I am talking about is the stone medicine that kind of saying herbal medicine, but we're saying stone medicine instead of herbal medicine, because in ancient China, it was all about cataloging all of these plants, trees, seashells, grains, seeds, nuts, animal parts, stones, minerals, crystals, salts, you know, cataloging all these things, tracking the constituents, and tracking how they have an effect on the body. So stone medicine is like herbal medicine. We're talking about constituents. We're talking about classifications. And classifications means these different categories that we look at that help us define the properties of the stones. So it's like, we want to know the healing properties of the stones. We want to know the awakening properties of the stones. We have to look at the classifications. And classifications, one of them is color. One is chemical composition. One is the level the stone is formed at. All the way up to about 16 different classifications that when you look at all these classifications, they actually define the crystal's healing properties. And it's more common sense than we get in the West. In the West, we get a lot of channeled information, you know, that the person is channeling. And there's not necessarily a way that we can all ground into a common language. Like, this is where they got this from. This is where they got these healing properties from. In stone medicine, because of the work done in ancient China, with the Taoists, we have these roots that have just like blossomed over generations, actually, that teach us about the classifications of stones that determine their properties based on resonance, energetics, law of signature, things that feel common sense, things that feel like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And so we can actually, I feel like what we're getting back as we go into the future, and bring in this new dimension of stone medicine, crystal healing, what we're getting back is actually the old ways. We're getting back the common sense. We're getting back the grounded knowledge. And we can keep all of that, the channeled information. That was the thing of the 70s and 80s. And we will stand on the shoulders of that and go forward. And there will be a cycle, where there's intuitive information, and then we come back to the scientific and grounded. And but I think what we're getting back now, which so few people know about, is the grounded classifications of stones and their properties.
Thank you. And this is really beautiful because it allows our logical mind, our analytical, critical, logical mind to embrace and understand these qualities without going into metaphysics, into channeled information, which may very well be a part of the full body of knowledge. But it is that bridge between science and spirituality, or converging science and spirituality in this case, that will allow us to fully embrace it, because there is the esoteric part of it, and then there is the knowledge, the grounded knowledge, as you say, classification through testing, research, etc. So it creates a very holistic approach,
Yeah, like
which is very accessible.
yes, people like to have the right brain and the left brain, like the knowledge and the intuition together.
Yes. Now, speaking of various properties of crystals, I know that many people infuse water with the crystals' energy, which they can drink. So, sort of like a homeopathic medicine. Could you please speak to this? Do you teach it in your practice? And we will speak in a moment about your courses. But what is your view on using crystals in a homeopathic way?
Yeah, well, the traditional kind of Taoist term would be stone elixirs. And all of this started, this was the roots of alchemy, when they were like, let's turn lead into gold, working with cinnabar, working with mercury, working with stibnite, working with these alchemical stones like sulfur, and working them within cauldrons, and how do we cook them up? And then heavy metal poisoning came up in ancient China because they didn't realize how much, toxic constituents can be in the stones. And they were doing all of these experiments. And when heavy metal poisoning came up in ancient China, that's a big part of what kind of killed stone medicine and why we don't learn about that as much as herbal medicine these days. But what has happened now, we are working with stone elixirs a lot because we're able to, rather than crushing up a stone or crushing up sulfur and having to take several grams a day, this is called pharmacokinetic, where you have to have matter to matter physics. Like, we need this much sulfur in this many grams to affect us on a cellular level. It's very 3D. But now, with all of the breakthroughs in vibrational medicine, we know that we can put crystals in water. Crystals store a ton of information, and water is absolutely miraculous. Water has memory. Water is a shapeshifter. When you put those two things together, like stones are the holders of the codes and water is memory, you are making some potent vibrational medicine. So we can put stones and crystals into water. We don't do it directly anymore. We don't put crystals directly into the water because we don't want those constituents leaking out. We don't want to be drinking lead or cadmium or copper every day. But we have these really beautiful methods to make these vibrationally, and you can work with them homeopathically, where the greater the dilution, the greater the potency. But you can also work with them like a Bach flower essence, and it's just about taking these vibrational amounts and affecting the subtle energy field, which then trickles down into form.
Absolutely. And I would add to use spring water, not tap water.
Yeah.
Because
Yes.
tap water will kill everything.
Poor tap water. That tap water needs prayed over.
Yes, well, it needs to be cleaned from all, fluoride and chlorine and all the nasties before. I mean, I don't touch tap water. I drink only spring water, even used for cooking. So yeah, I stopped drinking tap water many years ago because it can actually slowly kill you, depending on where you live and what goes into it, in which city, etc. But generally speaking, it's not a
Yeah.
good thing to drink. Use it for washing dishes. We use it for, cleaning, whatever, but don't drink, I would say. Lovely. Now, often we will pierce a crystal, say in jewelry making, or cut it in half or into small pieces. What I'm always curious about, because I have to say, I almost feel pain. Like when I see a crystal pierced through with a metal wire, I cringe because I also feel the pain at the subtle energy level. So what I'm curious is whether I am so oversensitive, or does it actually disrupt the energy flow? Does it have any negative impact on the crystal? Does it hurt the crystal?
You know, I think that it depends. If you have a whole crystal, like you are holding a whole crystal, you can see the hexagonal structure or the tetragonal structure or the trigonal structure that you feel like you're holding a whole crystal. So if you have a whole crystal, that is big enough that you have this whole crystal, like exactly how it came out of the earth, right? A whole crystal has a greater chance of having like a living spirit or a living soul in it. In the center of that whole crystal would be like the spirit or the soul of the crystal. Now, if you just, went to a mountainside of granite and chipped off some of the granite and it was microcrystalline, it might be more of like that instinct program in the wild, right? Like it's less of a formed, individuated soul or spirit, and it's more of just kind of part of the oneness. So if I have a whole crystal, I really nurture that there is like a spirit or soul in that. I use whole crystals for spiritual and soul level healing. I use whole crystals for elixirs. And those are the ones that if something happens to them, like if they get punctured or cut, or they get irradiated, or they get stabilized, heat treated, dyed, what I have to do then is, this is largely intuitive, but I feel the crystal at three layers. So I feel it at the superficial layer, the mid layer, and then I feel it at the deepest layer. And the deepest layer would be like its soul. And the superficial layer is like it's its outer, like it's its hair and skin. If you think of it like a person, if there's a damage to the superficial layer, it might just be kind of like getting a haircut for that crystal. It might not really have affected it at a deeper level. But there are certain interventions like synthetic treatments and things that when I feel these crystals, I can feel damage at the soul level, at the deepest level. So I have to tune into those three levels. And if I feel a damage at the soul level, at the deepest level, it to me, it's like I want to bring that stone to sanctuary. I want to offer that stone healing, which you can heal, or you can lay them on the earth in a sanctuary place and like give them back to their mother. Just put them in the infirmary, like take care of them in some way if you feel that. In all, it's like I think it depends on the stone and it depends on like what the injury is.
Thank you. Now, another thought that came to me is, are crystals holographic energies, perhaps, where even the tiniest piece contains its full energetic potential? And so, if we say cut it in smaller pieces, even the soul will be intact holographically in those small pieces. What do you think of that?
I think that is a really cool thought.
It just came to me.
Yeah, people don't bring that up that often, and it is true. We live in a holographic universe, right? And crystals are so holographic. They work so well in grids because all is the one and one is the all. So crystal grid is many crystals together. All is the one and one is the all. And what is reflective of is the order in the atomic structure. It's so ordered. It's like all is the one and one is the all for the atom. So crystals are really respondent of holographic energy. And of course, they would want to stand up and be like, yes, we are part of the law of the holographic nature of the universe, too. I think that's a cool thought.
Lovely, thank you. Now I've got a bit of a quirky question for you. So we know that crystals are conscious energies, which means that they have free will to the extent that they can exercise it in our understanding of what consciousness can do or what are its characteristics. So, have you ever met a crystal that refused to work with you, or was reluctant, or was playful? Have you had any such quirky experiences with crystals?
Well, I definitely have had times when I pick up a crystal and ask what, like, especially in nature, you'll feel this a lot in nature. If you're like, I'm at this really wonderful nature place and I feel like this crystal just popped out at me, and you're kind of like, want to take it home. And in that moment, when you want to take it home, it's always a good thing to ask then, because that's a huge destiny moment for that crystal that's been there millions, maybe billions of years in nature, perhaps in a flowing creek, like part of this world that it's a part of. And then this human comes along and takes it, to their shelf and their home. So it's always really important to ask. And in those moments, one of the things I always say is, if you don't get a clear yes, it's a no. So ask the crystal, do you want to come home and partner for a little bit? And if it's not a clear yes, it's a no. And then you leave it where it is. It's just such a big destiny moment. But the thing is that you will also get a clear yes sometimes. And we have to remember that humans aren't bad. We're not bad. We are part of the oneness too. We're part of nature. We're part of the Tao. And if there might be a moment where a stone wants to go home with a person and create a bond and create unity and do work together and experience something together. I think that we,
And be of service.
yes.
And be of service. Yeah.
Yeah. And be able to move. Like crystals, one of the things about them is they're so rooted, they're so foundational. They don't get pollinated by bees, they don't spread their seeds around through the wind, they don't grow in other places. You don't have to check them in customs because they could grow in the other country. They are where they are. So one of the things that humans really afford crystals and stones or give them is the ability to move, to go to another place, to work into a grid, to be with other stones. So I think that's part of the allure for stones about humans is like, oh, we get to go for a walk now. And I think humans, we give them things and they give us things.
Let's rehome the crystal. Now, Sarah, you say that crystals are transformational. What do you mean by that? And can we work with crystals to enhance our psychic abilities?
I think I've been so lucky. I have, because I'm an acupuncturist, and that's more common and accepted in the West to go to see an acupuncturist than it is to go to see a crystal healer. I've had thousands and thousands of patients, and I put crystals on almost every single one. And I've also done the acupuncture needles. Probably 90% of my treatments have been stone and acupuncture hybrid treatments. So I get to feel the difference between, I'm putting a amethyst crystal on CV12, or I'm putting a stainless steel acupuncture needle on CV12. What is the difference? When do I do these two different things? And this speaks to why stones are transformational and why I really invite people. If you're a healer of any kind, I invite you to start bringing stones and crystals into your work just a little bit more, because what a stone or crystal is able to do that's different than a stainless steel acupuncture needle that's been made in a factory is, present all these different frequencies. Stones and crystals are like, I feel like they're all like moths with these really beautiful antenna, and they all have these different antenna. So it's really intricate and different, the different antenna. The antenna is based in the physics of the stone. There is atomic structure. There is so much information in an element. Like there's so much information in oxygen. There's so much information in titanium. And all of these classifications inside of these stones make up this really specific antenna. So when I put on calcite crystal, I get the specific antenna that's going to reach into the field of all possibility and pull in specific information based on that antenna. And the stainless steel acupuncture needle is just this one same antenna every time, you know? But when I use the stones and crystals, I'm using these really unique, elaborate antennas, and I see and feel them pull energy into the room, into the space, into the energy centers, into the acupuncture points. In specific ways that they call on different things. Now, those things can be really transformational. And I tell you, those things are not things that I know how to ask for. Like I've seen things come into the room and come into people's treatments and awareness that I would have never known how to ask for. I would have never known that was the golden key. It doesn't come up in our deep conversations sometimes, but most of the time is because it's in the subconscious. Right? Most of the time, we don't know it. We don't know that it was their ancestor, you know, great great grandma on this side. There was a seed planted that is now able to transmute. You know, we don't know those things. That what crystals offer us is this ability to be tapped into the unknown. You know, when I put crystals on people, I'm saying, I don't know the answer. You know, but hey, field of all possibility, here's something you can encode. Here's something that you can ride on. And here's all these different antenna to pick up different frequencies. And the fun of it over time is to kind of learn about those antenna and the different frequencies they're going to pick up. But when I put a crystal on somebody, I'm saying, like, I don't know. I'm in the unknown. I'm open to all possibilities. And then I let all of these incredible possibilities in the field, they're spiritual beings, they're masters, there's all of these higher life forms. You know, only 1% of reality is sensible. So all of these things can come in through these stones, and that's how we get miracles in practice. That's how I got miracles in my practices. It was always coming through the stones as portals in the room, as portals on the body. And it's so cool too how they refine your sense of communication. Like how stones communicate is an incredible, it's an incredible journey to learn about. How your subconscious gets communicated to, how you may have a dream later, how synchronicities may unfold. It's truly, it's the language of the soul. And when we work with stones, we're tapping into something so big, and that's how it becomes so transformative.
Oh, I'm loving it. Thank you. I'm really loving what you have just shared with us. And I assume that perhaps, unlike with some plant medicine, which, if used wrongly, can potentially harm a person, I don't think that a crystal has ever harmed or could ever harm a person.
It depends. You know, the crystal could be the medium for something in the field that is, right? That like there have been spells placed in crystals. Like if you go back to sorcery, it's like crystals are the heart of some of the martial arts. And martial arts isn't just like kicking and punching like judo. Martial arts is like the movement of energy. So there have been, you know, evil sorcerers or bad people that have implanted energies inside crystals. But I don't think that the crystal itself would ever mean to harm. I think it's just sometimes like the receptacle, because we know that what they do is absorb, store, and transmit energy, frequency, and vibration. They absorb, store, and transmit mantra, sound, blessing, intention, encodements, incantations. So I think in a way, it's like if used wrongly, they could potentially do that.
Interesting.
But it wouldn't be from their own life force. It would from something in like, you know,
Programming,
programming it. Yes.
like a negative programming. That's an interesting, in fact, another little curiosity I have never heard of, so I'm a bit surprised. That's interesting. That's really an interesting curiosity. So, Sarah, if someone would like to start working with crystals, what would be, say, three or four crystals that you would recommend as the most useful to work with at the beginning? a starter kit, if you like.
Yes, well, clear quartz is definitely the one to start with because what you have there is the blank page. You have the tabula rasa. You have this empty receptacle for your intentions. And they're great partners because they're so clear, they're so non-biased. They're so versatile. They're so forgiving. Quartz is formed at all three layers of the earth, which means it's forgiving, it's adaptable. And what I'm trying to say is it's just listening to you. Clear quartz is just, let me just listen to you and mirror you. I can direct what you say. I can order what you say. I can amplify what you say. I can harmonize what you say. Quartz has all these beautiful properties. It can harmonize, amplify, order, direct. It goes on and on the way that quartz can work with energy and transduce energy. But it's just such a clear mirror. So when you're like, well, let me think about this. Like maybe I want to get 10 crystals, pray with them of like the most light, beautiful, loving energy I can, and then pass them out at, I volunteered a prison and then I'm going to pass them out at the prison. So now all of these crystals have this energy that you imprinted into them. Clear quartz is the best crystal to do that because it's just going to read what you have to say without editing,
Okay. What else?
Okay. Let's see. I would say hematite is another great one to work with because hematite is iron oxide. A lot of you may have seen this. It's like silver on the outside, but on the inside, it's almost like a blood red, and it's very magnetizing. It's almost the opposite of quartz, where quartz has a clear electrical energy. Hematite has a deep, solid magnetizing energy. So it's almost the yin to the yang of quartz. And to hold them and feel the difference is a good, like, what are the difference of these energies? If I close my eyes and it's not really about what they look like, what's the difference? And the hematite is so grounding, and it also just, it fills us, it nourishes us. If you think of, after you eat a meal and you have like your iron and your blood is full, you feel restful, you feel content. It's like after having a bottle with your mama gives you a bottle and then you can calm down. So there's a grounding and calming quality to hematite that's really good for kids and pets and even working with the earth because it magnetizes to the earth. So it creates a, like that yin energy of receptiveness, calmness. And another one to think about is fluorite. Fluorite is so accessible. It comes in all colors. Fluorine, number 9 on the periodic table, is the most electronegative element on the periodic table, which means that it's kind of a vacuum for other electrons. Like it's a vacuuming energy. So we use it in clearing a lot. If you want to clear someone or clear something, you can use fluorite to kind of vacuum out that energy that you want to clear due to that electronegativity. So it's great for placing on the body and just saying what you want to let go of, upload it into the fluorite or just hold it in your hands and let go into the fluorite. It's kind of like what you put fluorite around, it can evaporate that energy and gently trans.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the color doesn't matter?
No, the color can direct it, but all fluorites have those properties that I just described.
Okay, lovely. So we've got three: crystal quartz, hematite, and fluorite. Lovely. Anything else you might want to add to the starter kit?
I would say never underestimate the power of rose quartz. It is so gentle and like it is so gentle and it's so powerful at the same time. And if you really feel the power of that for your heart, the heart is where, feeling the need for control, anxiety, all of that comes from the heart. And it's so gentle and so powerful for the heart. I mean, it's great for kids and pets. It's just, it's one of these energies that people just think it's just, oh, it's just rose quartz. It's just gentle. But the power that it has to calm the heart enough for it to open is really profound.
Yeah, and it's also very accessible. So lovely to work with. Beautiful. Well, Sarah, my final question, or almost final question, is could you please tell us about your courses, your teachings? And obviously, I will include all the links in the show notes. But just in a nutshell, what are your offerings? How people can work with you, how people can connect with you? Because I understand you have a broad range of events and courses and classes. So could you please speak to this?
Sure, yes. My website is upperclarity.com, upperclarity.com. It kind of means greater heaven or the greater realms of heaven. In the Tao. And at upperclarity.com, you can take a full certification course with me, which is a 9-week training. That's really good for people who are interested in healing and learning more, like getting more depth with stone medicine. We do one live 9-week training in the fall every year and one live 9-week training in the spring every year. And I mean live online, so you can join from anywhere in the world. And then I have other smaller trainings where you can learn specific protocols, like how to work with specific meridian systems with stones, how to gently transmute entities with stones, how to make stone elixirs. So there's other side trainings you can take based on your interest too.
Lovely, thank you. And do you have any specific courses for practitioners, like health practitioners?
Yeah, so we're really good with working with acupuncturists. We have a course called Stones for the Eight Extraordinary Meridians that talks about how to really work with the soul records with stones. And our certification courses are great for healers and practitioners. And we even have courses on land healing and earth grid work, which is around like kind of working with stones in accordance with ancient sites or power spots. So we for people who are like just getting beginning interested in crystals and just want to learn more, we are always speaking to those people. And we're always also speaking to licensed professionals that have been doing healing work for a long time. We really fill in all those gaps.
Thank you. So effectively, we can say that you are taking or you have taken energy healing to the next level from what I am hearing. And I absolutely love this conversation and I can't thank you enough and I thank the universe for the synchronicity that has that has brought you to my awareness and our paths have crossed and that you kindly accepted my invitation. So thank you so much, Sarah. It's been such a pleasure to have you on Quantum Living. Is there any final thought that you'd like to share before we
I
close?
just want to thank you for your questions. I thought your questions were awesome and from the heart and what you really were curious about. And I also thought your introduction when you talked about the stones and crystals and set us up, I thought that was one of the best intros I've ever heard about stones and crystals. So thank you for being genuinely interested and just for inviting me to speak.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Sarah. And once again, I will include all the links in the show notes so that the people who are interested can contact you. And all the best with your work. And thank you for your work because that's what we need, especially now. And it's been such a pleasure to have you on Quantum Living.
Oh, I'm so glad you sought me out. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's all for today, folks. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would much appreciate if you could spare a moment and post a review on Apple Podcasts or on my website at quantumlivingpodcast.com, where you can also read the full show notes, guest info, reviews, and more. I'm your host, Anna Anderson. I look forward to connecting with you in the next episode of Quantum Living. Until then, keep your vibrations high and be well.